Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming this afternoon. I want to make sure to note right off the bat that most of what I'll be reporting on today was research done by my two co-authors, Bethany Lyons and Mike Stanley. They are both young scientists. Bethany just finished a Master of Science just over a year ago, and Mike Stanley is a NSF-funded undergraduate research student who did his research this past summer. Both of them were taking advantage of a long-term nitrogen addition experiment designed to simulate excessive chronic N deposition at Michigan that's been going on since 1994. So in the Michigan grading study, we have four northern hardwood study sites located in the state of Michigan that since 1994 have been receiving about 2.5 to 4 times ambient nitrogen deposition, actually maybe a little bit more than that now because the ambient deposition has gone down a little bit. The four research locations are similar to each other. They are all northern hardwood forests dominated by sugar maple, which is about 80% of the basal area. These forests are oldest trees about 100 years old now. The soils are similar to all the sites. They are sandy soils, basically usually loamy sands or sandy loams that classify as typic haplothods. And since 1994, as I mentioned, we've been adding the nitrogen. The rate we add is 3 grams of nitrogen per meter squared per year. There are 3 30-meter by 30-meter plots at each of the locations that receive that level of nitrogen addition. There also are 3 control plots at each location that receive just whatever ambient nitrogen deposition is. And we've recorded all types of data over the 20 or so years of this experiment now, including the growth of all trees. And of course, when we go out to the trees each year to measure annual diameter increments, that's our chance to also record mortality. So we have good records of what year individual trees have died in this study. A wide variety of other things have been measured as well, including soil respiration, soil carbon content, and microbial responses, including the community composition, microbial biomass, and some functional attributes of the microbes, a variety of other things, but these are ones I've listed here because they're relevant to kind of the development of the two research questions that Bethany for her master's and Mike for his undergraduate research investigated. And by the way, when we measure all these trees, it helps that we also know the exact location of all the trees, and this becomes very important for Bethany's study, so we actually have maps of the tree locations at every study plot, and all the trees are numbered. So when we want to find out what happened in an individual tree, even though it's been dead for a number of years, we can actually go back and locate that tree, or in this case, the snag or down dead wood that is the result of that tree's death. So just some background that led into the development of Bethany's research questions for her master's. Litter decomposition, we've known for a long time, has been retarded by the chronic nitrogen additions at these study sites. When you see data like this, it doesn't show individual sites. It basically means that the four individual sites all are responding the same. And that's actually been consistent throughout the experiment. The four sites tend to respond in exactly the same way. So we tend to show the average across all the study sites. So soil respiration is reduced beginning after about the first couple years, typically reduced about 14 or 15%. So that's one line of evidence that there's a chance that litter decomposition has been inhibited by the N additions. Another line of evidence is we see an accrual of carbon in the surface soil horizons, including the old horizons and the top portion of mineral soil. So that's, again, evidence that litter decomposition from leaf litter and fine root litter has been inhibited by the chronic nitrogen additions. And Don Zak and his various students and postdocs have done quite a bit of work trying to understand some of the mechanisms behind that, and there's a variety of reasons in terms of general suppression of the microbial community, including the fungal community, as well as changes in the community composition and changes in some of the functional attributes in terms of the gene expression and enzymes in the soil that are responsible for this decline in litter decomposition with the excessive N availability. And others have seen the same thing in long-term N addition experiments as well. So this led to the question that was kind of the primary focus of Bethany's master's research, which was we got to thinking about all the things we've been measuring, and we realized we never really paid any attention to the coarse woody debris. And over 20 years, of course, trees are dying. A fair number of the trees have actually died, usually in the smaller diameter classes, but occasionally larger trees as well. So her primary question was, has wood decomposition also been inhibited? Right? We've seen a general fungal suppression. We've seen reductions in lignolytic activity of the microbial community. So is wood decomposing as quickly on the an addition plots? So again, we do know the year of death for all the trees, because we find that out when we go out and measure the annual diameter increments. We also know the locations of all the trees. So in 2011, Bethany went out and relocated all the trees that had died over 17 years of the study. So she found them and found whether they were still a standing snag or whether they're down dead wood on the ground, assigned them all a decay classification based on just visual observations of the state of decay of the wood. She used a five-class system where the decay class one is freshly fallen, it's got intact bark, all the fine twigs are still there if it's the whole tree that came down. And progressively you go to more and more loss of fine material and the bark starts to fall off and you see more evidence of fungal decay, and then eventually the shape of the piece of wood starts to become a little bit more oval, and you can see more fragmentation of the wood, and that moves you from decay class 1 to decay class 5, kind of a typical system for visually classifying decay class of down dead material on the forest floor. So she did that, and then she also went back and sampled every third piece of dead wood that or tree remains, whatever you want to think of it as, from these trees that had died during the study. So she sampled every third dead tree. If it was one of the higher decay classes, or I guess I should say lower decay classes, less decayed material, she could actually use the chainsaw and cut a nice little cookie off of it, and we could take that back for determination of density and subsequent analysis of carbon and nitrogen concentrations. Some of the really highly decayed material, we had a variety of cores that she could use to take a core of known volume. So she would get the material from a known volume of the wood, and we could take that back later and also get its mass to figure out density, and again do the subsequent analysis. So from that, we were able to estimate the volume and wood density and also calculate the biomass actually remaining on site from all these trees that had died over 17 years at the time of her study. So one of the first things she did was just look at the density, and she found out that there's a statistically significant difference between the N-addition treatment and the control treatment, in which the wood from the N-addition treatment had greater density, especially in these higher decay classes. And most of the down-dead wood on the site still is in decay class 3 and 4. So this is actually probably 70% of the wood created by the death of trees over the study period. Because we know the locations of all the trees and the year in which they died, we can also do even additional analysis, not just looking at decay classes and that, but also looking at time since the tree actually died. How long has this been dead material? When we do that and we look at the density over time since death, we find that mass loss has been much faster for the control treatment than for the chronic end deposition treatment. So again, evidence of retarded decay in woody material from the chronic end addition plots. So you see here, actually, we get a significant trend in density going down over time. Pieces that have been out there longer, they have less density. And really, oops, wrong button. And really no trend at all for the N-addition treatment. It's basically flat. They're really not losing much mass at all. Now, she also could analyze the carbon and nitrogen concentration of these materials, which she did. And we see kind of the same thing there. And wood carbon and nitrogen ratios have decreased much more quickly over time for the control than for the chronic N-addition treatment. And again, if you think of what changes the C to N ratio, right, it starts out pretty wide in a piece of wood. And what causes it to go down over time is both loss of carbon, but even more so importation of nitrogen into the wood. And that wood is coming, or that nitrogen is coming into the wood from the fungi that are helping decay the wood. That's the main source of nitrogen moving into the wood. And so this causes that C to N ratio to narrow over time. So this lack of change in density of the decaying wood on the N-addition treatment, plus not much change in terms of the C to N ratio, both suggest that we are having less fungal decay of this woody material in the N-addition plots. And again, you see just a different way of looking at the same results, where we kind of bin it up by different years since death of the tree. And you see the same pattern both for wood density, it goes down very linearly with time for the control treatment. And the same thing for wood C:N ratio is going down over time, and you see kind of a fairly flat trend for the N addition plot. So the results of the wood density and C:N ratio both are consistent with reduced rates of fungal decay of the woody material that is being created by the death of trees on these sites. So our next question then, so this is kind of the end of Bethany's work. So now she worked really quick, got done in a year and a half, and because she had already, even before she started her master's, she had a PhD program lined up that was starting at a certain time. So she did a really great job really quick. But we had one more question as we're getting ready to publish this, which is there also more direct evidence of reduced fungal colonization? So we had two ways to kind of look at these pieces of dead wood to kind of get an indicator of how much the fungal biomass there might be. We could use ergosterol, but that's for living fungal material, and these are now stored samples, so that's not going to work. We could also use chitin, and chitin is kind of an indicator of the total living and dead fungal biomass within the wood tissue. So it's kind of like a history of fungal occupation of this wood over time. So we thought we would determine if the chitin concentration of the wood was reduced for the end deposition treatment. If there's been less fungal attack, less fungal material in the wood, we should see less chitin in this wood from all these samples. So that became Mike Stanley's NSFRU project, which he did this last summer. He had to do acid hydrolysis of the wood samples followed by colorimetric analysis of the resulting glucosamine amino sugars as an indicator of the chitin content of that wood. So it's quite interesting for Mike. He had to learn a little bit of wet lab chemistry. He had to learn about how to optimize his procedures, figure out just how much wood and how much of these different chemicals to combine together to get it in the range of the standard curve. And he learned all about quality control and quality assurance. It was actually a really good summer for him, and it was really great to see his eyes kind of light up as he began to see how all this worked. So here's the first summary of his results. So wood from the end addition treatments had lower chitin content in all decay classes. So now Mike is thinking this science stuff is easy too. You just kind of make a hypothesis, you test it, it's true. And I'm like, you don't understand it. It never actually comes out that well. But the key always is explaining why it wasn't true. But in his case, it came out to be true. And again, we look at the same thing. Chitin content increased more rapidly over time in wood from the control than from the end deposition treatment. We see chitin going up in older wood from the control, indicating more fungal attack over time, just accumulation of fungal biomass, and really not much evidence of fungal occupation of the wood from the end deposition treatment, consistent with not much loss of mass and not much change in C:N ratio. So the changes over time in the density, carbon to nitrogen ratio, and chitin content of the decaying wood all are indicative of inhibition of fungal wood decay for the end deposition treatment. And this could theoretically then lead to enhanced ecosystem carbon storage under chronic elevated end deposition due to reductions in the rate of wood decomposition. This is in addition to the other two sources we've already seen of greater carbon accumulation on the long-term end addition sites, which is in enhanced growth above ground, as well as that increase in soil carbon. And we do see some evidence that this is happening. It's not statistically significant yet, but on the control and anaddition treatments, they're fairly similar in the volume of coarse woody reproduced over the 17 years. It's actually about 7% lower in the end deposition treatment, but because it decays slower, the biomass created for the end deposition treatment is 16% greater. So you see it's kind of similar, if not slightly lower here, but it's actually greater there, especially in decay classes 3 and 4, and that's because it's decaying more slowly. And in fact, if we were to change it into carbon content, not just biomass, because the carbon concentration also is up a little bit, it's even a little bit more than that 16%. So I want to make sure to thank the funding sponsors, which is the National Science Foundation and also the USDA McIntyre Stennis Program, which is funded part of Bethany's research. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions you might have. Yes?
Is there any difference between wood that comes into contact with the forest floor right away and that contains fungal? Is it both creatively differentiating anything from that?
We don't know for sure for most of these pieces when they went from a standing snake to down on the ground. However, I didn't show you the data because it would make the talk too long, but when we actually look at the trees that are still snags, we actually see the same thing. We see slower rates of mass loss, and we see less chitin in the end deposition treatments, even on those. And those snags where we sample them usually at breast height, so you still can get some fungal spores or things can start to attack those, and we see the same actual effect on the snags even before they hit the ground.
What exactly happened in that chronic nitrogen treatment? How did that decomposition to reduce? Like, what was the mechanistic process that driving that production?
Don's X group has worked quite a bit on it. There's a number of factors. Some of it is the change in the microbial community. They see just overall less fungal mass in that system. There's some of the basidial mycetes, white rot fungi, tend to be inhibited by excess amino N, especially in the soil. There's other theories that talk about how lignin or lignin-like material, as it's partially degraded, can form complexes that are pretty recalcitrant with the free amino N. And Donzak's group has also seen just reduced gene expression from some of these fungal groups, and also actinomycetes, reduced expressions of genes that degrade lignin-like structures in the material. So there's a lot of pieces of evidence. There's no one smoking gun that it's absolutely this, but there's a lot of things that seem to be pointing or working together to reduce the decomposition rate.
Thank you.